And now it's the time you've been waiting for. You're in the mix with film producer Jason Slack, a.k.a. the talk of the town now. The 40 Vision Films man himself, the owner of the Jason Slack brand. The place to be is here on the Vision Live Network. And now, let's get it in. Welcome to the Slack is Talk podcast.
Welcome to the Slack is Talk podcast, a.k.a. the talk of the town now. I'm your host, film producer Jason Slack, and we are now on episode number 9 of the Slack is Talk podcast. So without further ado, let's get it in. Now, on my last episode, I did Championship Bill. And for some reason, if you guys didn't listen, that's none other than Bill Russell. I promised to give y'all guys two legends, two sports figures. I promised y'all two legends that, other than playing the sports that they played, they had to deal with a lot of backstage adversity. And in so many ways, a lot of things were taken from them. But despite facing this adversity, they was able to overcome it. And they continued on, and these two, you know, they didn't let anything stop them. They took it as motivation, and in a lot of ways, it probably motivated them to become the great men that they became. So, I gave you Bill Russell. Now it's time for the second. And for my second, instead of me introducing him, I'll let you, well, I'll let him tell y'all himself.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, from Louisville, Kentucky, wearing black tie, Mr. Cassius Marcellus Clay.
I am the greatest! By Cassius Clay! This is the legend of Cassius Clay, the most beautiful fighter in the world today. He talks a great deal and brags indeed of a muscular punch that's incredibly speedy. The fistic world was dull and weary. With a champ like Liston, things had to be dreary. Then someone with color, someone with dash, brought fight fans a running with cash. This brash young boxer is something to see, and the heavyweight championship is his destiny. This kid fights great. He's got speed and endurance. But if you sign to fight him, increase your insurance. This kid's got a left. This kid's got a right. If he hits you once, you're asleep for the night. And as you lie on the floor, while the ref counts 10, you pray that you won't have to fight me again. For I am the man this poem is about. The next champ of the world, there isn't a doubt. This I predict. And I know the score. I'll be champ of the world in 64. When I say 3, they go in the 3rd. So don't bet against me. I'm a man of my word. If Cassius says a cow can lay an egg, don't ask how. Grease that skillet. He is the greatest. Yes, I'm the man this poem is about. I'll be champ of the world. There isn't a doubt. Here I predict Mr. Liston's dismemberment. I'll hit him so hard, he'll wonder where October and November went. When I say 2, there's never a 3rd. Betting against me is completely absurd. When Cassius says a mouse can outrun a horse, don't ask how. Put your money where your mouse is. I am the greatest.
That's right, y'all. For my second, none other than the greatest boxer of all time, Muhammad Ali, without a doubt. Before I even get into his accolades, all his championships, and all his accomplishments in the sport known as professional boxing, I want to point out two things first. And these two things are very important to me. If you've been following me and listening to the Slackers Talk podcast, I've talked about a lot of people. I've talked about a lot of people dealing with our culture and a lot of people dealing with our history so far. And one of the things that I want to point out that's real important, all of the people that I gave you were outspoken. All of the people that I gave you, they were great talkers. They were passionate. They were leaders. They were great motivators. And that's important to me because there's a lot of people that think we're ignorant. There's a lot of people that think we're just athletes and don't have an education. So I wanted to point that out. You know, these are some of the most smartest and educational people in our culture. And time again, they showed it. You know, not only was the man a great boxer, but he had charisma. You know, there's a thing that a lot of athletes don't understand. There's a lot of people. So, like, let's say, for example, let's say that you're a boxer. You know, common sense, you know, everybody in the world is not a boxing fan. So you have to entertain people. You have to get people motivated. You have to get them, you know, you have to encourage them. You have to give them a reason to watch. You know, you have to get them interested in the sport. You know, you want everybody tuned into what you do. You know, we know you love what you do. It's about getting other people to like it. It's about getting other people interested in it. And nobody was better than Muhammad Ali. He understood that, yeah, it's boxing and it's a sport, but it's business. He knew how to get people tuned in. He knew how to get people interested in him. You know, his fight with George Foreman, it was the first professional fight to draw 1 billion viewers. The very first to do those kind of numbers. There's a thing called showmanship, and Muhammad Ali had it. There were people that was tuning in just to hear the guy speak. He captivated an audience like no other. This was an era where most fighters, if not all fighters, usually had their manager that was representing them at the time speak for them. With Muhammad Ali, there was no manager. There was no one else. He took the show. He was the show. And he showed you why he was the greatest. Not only because of what he did in the ring, but for the way he carried himself and the way he spoke outside of it. Now, the poetry, the words, these wasn't written down. It wasn't rehearsed. All the stuff that he said was genuine. This was how he felt at the time. Now, just to put that in perspective, there are rap artists today that can't freestyle. There are artists today that can't perform live. There are artists that don't write their own lyrics. This guy came from the heart with how he really felt and came up with this stuff on the spot. You know, it's legendary, man. It's just legendary. I can't say enough about it. I want to take a quick commercial break here on the Slackers Talk podcast. And when we come back, I want to talk about some more stuff he did outside the ring. I'm going to talk about his legendary performances inside the ring. And I want to also speak about what was taken away from him. Stay tuned. It's the Slackers Talk, baby. What's up, y'all? This is your boy, Jason Slack, from the Slackers Talk podcast. And I just want to say thank you for tuning in and listening to my show each and every week. I just wanted to stop by and let you guys know that you don't have to just listen to the show from one place. I'm available everywhere. I know you guys all have something different. That's why the Slackers Talk podcast is available on Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and many more. Whatever your favorite platform is, you can subscribe to the Slackers Talk podcast. Once you subscribe, my new episodes will automatically be sent to your device, and you can now listen to my show while you're on the go. Come on, man. We already know you're leaving. Just take me with you.
And now, let's get it in. Welcome to the Slackers Talk podcast.
The Vision is live.
And welcome back to the Slackers Talk podcast, aka the talk of the town now. Before we took a little small break, we were talking about Muhammad Ali, the greatest boxer to ever live. And what I want to do now is I want to go over some of the stuff. Well, I want to tell y'all about some of his accolades, some of his accomplishments, and some of the things that he did inside the squared circle. At the age of 18, Muhammad Ali was already a gold medal winner. He won a gold medal during the 1960 Summer Olympics, and he was able to turn pro later that same year. At the age of 22, 4 years later, he won his first heavyweight championship by defeating Sonny Liston. He would go on to successfully defend his championship against anyone who wanted to step up to the plate. During his first title run, even though he was born as Cassius Clay, he decided to change his name to Muhammad Ali. When he decided to change his name, many people believe that's when things started to go left, or at least that's when everything started to take a turn. The first situation was the fight that he had with Ernie Terrell. Just in case y'all guys are not familiar with that fight, before the bout even took place, during the interview, Ernie Terrell refused to acknowledge Muhammad Ali by the name Muhammad Ali. He kept calling him Cassius Clay, to which Muhammad Ali took great offense. And this led up to, during the fight, which Muhammad Ali won anonymously, Muhammad Ali, while beating him, kept asking him in the middle of the fight, "What's my name now? What's my name? What do you call me? What's my name?" That fight went on to become one of the many famous fights of his career. But then, at the age of just 26 years old, when he was right in the middle of his prime and he was still heavyweight champion, Muhammad Ali got drafted to serve in the military. Because of his refusal to go into the military, he faced 5 years in prison and he was stripped of all his boxing titles during his prime years of his career and his life. Ultimately, he was able to avoid jail time altogether, but this decision did cost him not being able to fight for close to 5 years. Because of this decision, he lost out on being able to do what he loved doing the best for almost 5 years in the prime of his career, and not to mention all the money that he lost that came along with it. But I think the message here is it's not about money. It's not about how old you are. I think we as people, everybody has different beliefs. There are no two people that's alike. You know, we all believe in something different in some kind of way. And I think when you stand up for something that you really believe in, there's no price big enough. You know, if you really believe in something, you should believe it, and it should be nothing that stands in your way. Muhammad Ali was associated with the Nation of Islam, which meant he was real good friends with my man Malcolm X, who I talked about a lot here on the Slackers Talk podcast. And another fun fact, during this time when he was protesting his conviction, he was also supported by none other than Bill Russell, who was my first legend that I spoke about in this series. Just another fun fact for you guys. Before I did my research, I had no idea that them two even knew each other. I want to take another quick commercial break, and when I come back and closing out the show, I want to show y'all or tell y'all what legends do, how they rebound from adversity, how they use it as motivation, and how they use it to become even greater than they was before they left out. Stay tuned. It's the Slackers Talk Podcast.
It's going down with the Vision Live Network, the number one network in the game. The Vision is live.
And welcome back to the Slackers Talk Podcast. And closing out the show, we were talking about Muhammad Ali, and we left off at the part where he lost 5 prime years of his career because he got drafted in the military. Now, normal situations with just regular people, a lot of people would have took that and they would have quit, but not Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali was a fighter in the ring and out, and quit, and the word losing was not in his vocabulary. He was not about to get defeated by no one. Now, before he was allowed to make a return, a lot of people had written him off. A lot of people thought he was done. A lot of people thought he should have retired. A lot of people thought, oh, you know, he had too much time off. He's not going to be the same. He's older now. He's not going to be able to do this. He's not going to be able to do that. But immediately, Muhammad Ali put a plan in place to come back better than he ever was. And a lot of people, myself included, felt like him getting drafted was just a way of getting that championship belt off of his waist, because he was unstoppable, and a lot of people didn't like that. So with Muhammad Ali knowing this, he had to come back. He had to come back. He had to make a statement. And Muhammad Ali did just that. He guaranteed that he would once again be heavyweight champion of the world. And by this time, Muhammad Ali was past his prime and he had gotten older. And the champion at that time was a young up-and-comer in his 20s, and he went by the name of George Foreman. George Foreman at that time was a beast. I mean, just a monster, man. I mean, just physically imposing. George Foreman was so big and young, and Muhammad Ali, being that he was older, nobody gave him a chance to win this fight. Nobody. Everybody thought, you know, he was a fool for doing it and he was going to get killed. And Muhammad Ali, being the person that he was, not just being a great fighter, but being a smart human being, he outsmarted everybody with what they call the rope-a-dope. You see, coming into the fight, he knew that he could no longer keep up with someone like George Foreman. He knew he couldn't go punch for punch with him and keep up round for round. But being that he knew he was able to take a few punches, what he did was he sat in the corner and let George Foreman punch himself to death until he got tired and he couldn't punch no more. As soon as he saw George Foreman wasn't able to throw a punch, Muhammad Ali went to work and did what he did. He laid him out and he let him have it. And at the end of the bout, he once again was on top of the world. He once again was known as heavyweight champion of the world. And what I take from that, not only did he win a fight, but he won his pride back. He won his dignity. He stood up for what he believed in, and he still was able to accomplish his dream of what he set out to be. He didn't allow anybody to take anything from him. He didn't let anybody dictate his life. He didn't let anybody tell him that he was too old. He just kept pushing and kept battling and stood for what he believed in. And most importantly, I love the way he did it. It wasn't about what he did in the ring so much, but he did it by thinking. He did it by outthinking people and using his intelligence. And that's why he made my list of legends that had to overcome a lot of adversity back in the day and become the great person that we know them as. Now, I know a lot of people are going to kill me because I didn't mention the fights with Joe Frazier. I didn't mention the Phantom Punch. And I didn't really mention a lot of his fights. But just keep in mind that it wasn't so much about the fights. It was the adversity and the message and how you don't quit and how you don't give up. You keep on pushing and you stand for what you believe in. And to me, that's what made him the greatest. This has been an episode of the Slackest Talk Podcast, a.k.a. The Talk of the Town Now. I'm your host, film producer Jason Slack. And the next time we talk, it will be my birthday. This Thursday, the 25th. And just to let everybody know, I do take Cash App. But anyway, thanks for listening. Y'all be blessed. And we'll talk again Thursday.
You're listening to the Slack Is Talk Podcast, a.k.a. The Talk of the Town Now. Find out what's going to happen next.